Thanks so much for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, including directions and service times, visit cbglades.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Oh, what is up, Church by the Glades? So glad you're here. The years start coming and they don't stop coming, said the famed theologian Smash Mouth. Yes, it's a new year, man. 2018, I know we've had some services in 2018, but this is my first time to be with you. Thank you. I did, the 317 Christmas services, and they gave me a week or two off after that. So this is my first time to hang out with you. And I love a new year. I love a new year. I love new beginnings. I love fresh starts. I love resolutions. Anybody here make resolutions? Anybody make resolutions? Yeah. Like three people. How are they going? I like resolutions. In fact, I got my list of the resolutions I made for 2017 right here on my phone. I got my list, and I did a pretty good job. And by the way, my list was lit. It was like, number one, use words like lit more often. Boom, did it, check. Number two, drink more, check. Water, drink more, hydrate. What you thinking? Number three, this is a good resolution right here. Number three, partner with amazing, faithful, generous people at Church by the Glades to open a sixth campus in a historic building in Lake Worth, Florida that will grow so rapidly it require a second Sunday morning service by, I don't know, January of 2018. You know, put your hands together. Give it up for Lake Worth campus. Congratulations on starting your second service. In fact, I am a raving fan of all of our campuses. We have some great campuses. Our campus is down south. Let's welcome Dade CI and Homestead. Glad you guys are with us. Great passion. I shouldn't have a favorite, but oh my gosh, you guys worship in such a passionate and powerful way. But our campuses here in Broward and Palm Beach are phenomenal. I went a couple weeks ago to Sample Road. Just give it up for Sample Road campus. Sensational. Sample Road. And they had a young communicator speaking. I wanted to hear. He did a great job. And I took Big Sean. Big Sean kind of watched me so I don't get myself in trouble on Sunday morning. Sean had never been there before. Sean, at the end of the service, said, man, this is incredible. The worship is amazing. The energy is phenomenal. And the way it's all this kind of like excitement in this small room. And it really is. Sample Road is kind of the best of everything at Church by the Glades. It's the horsepower of a large church in this beautiful, intimate environment. And then if you've not been to downtown Fort Lauderdale, that campus meets at 5 o'clock in the heart of downtown. In fact, most weeks, if I speak, I go there live because I enjoy it so much. And again, we're in a historic building. It's taken about a year to get it up to speed. We've changed the sound system. We've added some lights and intels. And now the AC works great. And so it really is, it's a great experience. And the best part, when church is done, Los Olas is like a half block away. And so you take your family, eat dinner. So, I mean, it's phenomenal. So I was thinking about this as we start the new year. If this is your home campus, Sawgrass, thank you so much for being here. And if you are part of Church by the Glades Sawgrass, you are part of something great. I don't take for granted what God has done. God has been so good to our church. This is not the normal church. He has blessed us, and you are part of that. You're serving, you're volunteering, you're giving, you pray for us. Thank you. I was just thinking, but there's some of you that this is your home campus that I want you to pray about going to one of the other campuses. Because those campuses, they're still Church by the Glades. But if you go to one of those campuses, you're not just part of something great, you're building something great. And there is a, not pride, but a profound sense of spiritual satisfaction when God uses you to build something bigger than yourself. Like here on this campus, I start out at a classic service at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday morning, and in that room are hundreds of people that were here with me decades ago when this church was small and broken, and we've watched God grow this church 20 times larger in 20 years than it used to be. I mean, we watched God do this, and we look around and meet eyes and recognize God used us. God's used like some normal, messed up people to build something so great, and I was just thinking there's somebody, you want that as part of your life story. You want to be part of building something amazing. So listen, there's no pressure for anyone to go. I don't play the shame game. So I'm not trying to put guilt on you. You need to go to a campus. I want to ask this, though. Would you pray? Would you pray and ask God, maybe the next couple of weeks, God, is that your call on my life? And if God calls you, go and help build something great. Our campuses are, I'm praying for 300 people from this campus to go to our other campuses and just bring some of the life and energy you guys possess. So no pressure to go, just pressure to pray, all right? Then if God leads you, of course you want to go. So anyways, that's my resolution that we start a second service. And then my fourth and final resolution is one I resolve every year. I think it's a great one. Get yourself free. Get yourself free. Meaning this, if there's some area of your life where you are stuck, some part of your life where you're addicted, some area of your life you're habitually dysfunctional, some relationship that is toxic, in Jesus' name, in 2018, get yourself free. Get yourself free. I want to talk to you about the big idea of freedom. I mean holistic life emancipation. And I can't think of a better time, start of a new year and a better weekend, MLK weekend, as we honor the life and the leadership and the legacy of Dr. King, because Dr. King was a freedom fighter, not with weapons of violence or cruelty, no, but with his character, his vision, his leadership, and his amazing gift of oratory, his speeches. I mean, I'm a communicator. I study communicators. I would argue the most impactful speech in the last 100 years of American life, Dr. King. I mean, all due respect to JFK and FDR, but 1963, in the shadow of the Lincoln Memorial, his I Have a Dream speech. Has there been a better oratory? His vision of what America should look like, sharing that vivid dream, so powerful. And I would say, second only to that speech, my second favorite speech of Dr. King is the one that he shared, actually in a church. Many of his speeches were in church. He was a pastor, you'll recall. By the way, you hardline separation of church and state people, take that and smoke it. Dr. King was a pastor, and he shared many of his great messages in a church, because sometimes there's a commingling, listen, of the social, political, and the spiritual. Sometimes they bleed together. And so he didn't shy away. He spoke up at those moments, and we're all so glad that he did. But it was in a Church of God temple, April 3rd, 1968. It was his Promised Land speech. And you've heard the conclusion the last 45 seconds or so, where he had this vision of a promised land. And sadly and prophetically, he said that he might not make there himself. And actually, the very next day in Memphis, an assassin's bullet stole away his life. But that bullet could not diminish his dream. And he did say, so I might not make it, but he quote, we as a people someday will make it to the promised land. And that was a land, that's a mighty metaphor describing freedom, blessing and freedom. I thought, here's the right place to start 2018, Martin Luther King weekend. I want to take you to the place in the Bible that comes from. I want to show you the original idea of the promised land. It's a real place. It's not just an illustration where it comes from. It's Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, you'll turn to the first chapter of Joshua. In fact, I love the book of Joshua. We're going to spend the first few weeks of this year in the book of Joshua. This week and the series to follow. Joshua chapter 1. Let's say it text together loudly, all campuses, just to make sure you're with me. Joshua chapter 1. And so if you can find that, great. If not, I'll put the verses on the big screen every campus. And this is the people of God. It's probably about 1200 BC. They have a marginalized, victimized background, but they're about to actually take possession of this promised land that God has promised generations before. And in the Hebrew heart, there's this longing for this place of freedom, this place of prosperity, this place of blessing, this place they would have a homeland and an identity as a nation. So under the leadership of Joshua, it's a transitional time, under the new leadership of Joshua, they finally take possession of God's promised land. Little verse by verse, there are many ways to study the Bible. My favorite is verse by verse. I'm going to jump right into this text. It says in verse 1, Joshua, the sixth book of the Old Testament. So you have the Torah, books of Moses, then Joshua. Here we go. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. Now, I'm going to put on the screen just the first little bit of verse 2. Now, if you're looking at your Bible on your phone or your paper, just stop for a moment and look at the screen. Everyone look at the screen. I want to kind of unfold this verse together. If you know it, pretend like you don't know it. Pretend like you're seeing it for the first time. Now, I want you to read the first little smidgen. Smidgen, a good word? Smidgen, smidgen. I'm going to use words like smidgen this year. Smidgen and lit. Here we go. All right. Moses, my servant is
dead.
Now, for us, that's just biblical information. But for the people of Joshua's day, I cannot begin to articulate the seismic impact of this statement. Moses is dead. See, for 40 years, the only leader they ever known was Moses. And shucks, Moses was Moses. I mean, Moses was that iconic leader, that larger-than-life personality, that hyper-talented, mega-gifted. Moses was a prophet of God, author of sacred scripture, was a miracle worker, guy who subdivided the Red Sea, humbled the Egyptians. Moses But they had lost Moses by any measurements, one of the greatest leaders that humanity has ever known. And Moses is dead. We're not out of verse 1 and 2, and Moses is no more. And how that would thud and impact the Hebrew heart. We have lost Moses. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get in the promised land with Moses, and now Moses is gone. I mean, the fear, the intimidation, they'd be thinking, oh no, we got no Mo. And translation, we got no momentum. We got no Moses. We got no movement. We got no motivation. Oh no, we got no Mo. Now back to verse 2. So they've lost someone so vital to their success. All right, look at the verse again. It's on the screen right now. I'm gonna give you one more word. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, dot, 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 right? Now, dot, dot, dot. Now, that's called an ellipse, right? Now, all right, now. So if you've never seen this verse before, don't know this story, how are you thinking this verse lands? You're probably thinking, okay, they just lost Moses. They lost this incredible, iconic leader. They lost Moses. So now, give it up. Quit. Take a knee. Now, game over. Now, you don't even try. You're never, ever going. If you couldn't get there under Moses, you ain't never making it to the promised land. Now, let me stop for a moment, because I know there's somebody here in this room, somebody at one of our campuses, and 2017 was a tough year for you. It was a bad year for you. It was a year of loss. You suffered a serious setback. You lost something you really valued. You lost something, or you lost someone. And you're like, what now? What now? I mean, life is kind of cool and productive. I guess those years are behind me, because I lost that thing, or I lost him, I lost her. And please, I don't mean to minimize the pain of your loss. You're thinking, I lost her, what now? I lost him, what now? I lost that job, what now? I lost that opportunity, what now? I lost my investment, what now? I lost my health, what now? Question, is the heart that God gave you still beating in your chest? Is the air that God's blessing you with right now still resonating in your lungs? Do you still got a pulse? Do you got a pulse? Go ahead and check your pulse. Make sure you have a pulse. In fact, reach over and make sure your neighbor has a pulse. Reach over, invade their personal space. Don't really do that, right? Right? So you lost something, or you lost someone, but you're still here. God left you here. I've told you before, man, if you got a pulse, God has a purpose. You're still here. God left you here for a reason. I don't minimize that you lost something or someone so important, and your life may not look the same. But now, so I want to go ahead and land this. I'm going to switch translations to the New American Standard Version, because I want to read the totality of the next part of Scripture. But look what actually happens here, because they just lost Moses. They lost Mo. Oh, no, we got no Mo. And look at this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Read this loudly. Now, therefore, come on, louder. Now, therefore, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, and cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land, a.k.a. the promised land, which I'm giving to the sons of Israel. On every place the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you. Oh, my gosh, God's saying, you lost Moses? That's tough. I know Moses was amazing. I know you pressed into Moses, been your leader for 40 years. But now, get up and let's make this thing happen. Now it's not game over, it's game on. Let's do this thing. Now arise, arise, and let's take possession of your promised land. If God left you here, he's not done with you. There's a powerful, profound purpose for your life. God's gonna rock your 2018. God wants to do something in your life so big. Promised land. All right, you think that's good? Just wait. Just wait. And by the way, it felt like the wrong time. Oh, this is a terrible time. We can't do this right now. We've lost Moses. Oh, we can't. Terrible. God, we can't go now. We've been trying to go for 40 years. You think now's the time? God's timing is a remarkable thing. And God's timing, I want to talk to you in the weeks to come a lot about how you recognize God's timing, because God's timing almost never feels like the right timing. Almost never feels like God's watch is running too fast or way too slow. It never feels like the right timing. But you can't, if you're seeking God's timing, you'll be always right on time. It's always not just a good time, the perfect time. Like, you're not feeling me. All right, so if I've learned this about God's timing. If my ask is wrong, God will say no. He's a big boy. God will say no. Just say no, David. It's not my will. Now, if my timing is off, he might say slow. If my heart is not right, he'll say, grow. But if my heart and the timing and the ask are right, he'll say, go. He'll give me a green light. And he says to Joshua, I know it doesn't feel in the flesh like it's the right time, but this is my time. It's time for you to go. And as awesome as that is, get ready. Look, verse 4. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I've been with Moses. Wow, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. By the way, Jesus makes us the same promise in Matthew. And then verse 6 is the best part of the Old Testament. Yeah, I said it. I know you love Psalm 23 and it's beautiful. I know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is cute and stuff, but this is the best part of the Old Testament. First 39 books, my favorite part are the next 4 verses. Here it is. Get ready. This is so good. Here we go. Ready? I didn't highlight it, but read the first 4 words. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land, the promised land I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left. Get ready. So that you may have success. Do I have anyone's attention? Anybody here, raise your hand if you'd like to have a little more success in your life. A little more success, a little more blessing. Raise your hand. All the smart people have their hands in the air, right? And this is, I wouldn't raise my hand if it was just me promising you, because if I'm making this promise, you do this, that, and that, you'll be successful. Well, this is not my promise. God's promise. Right there, black and white, word of God. So God says you will have success in church. You'll have success in religious things, wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law, what's this law book? Torah, that's the word there, the Hebrew word for law is Torah. So that's the first 5 books. By the way, that's all the Bible that Joshua had. Joshua did not have the book of Joshua. He's busy living the book of Joshua, all right? So Bible, so this Bible shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Oh, this is good. And then you will make your way. You can read louder. You make your way. And then you will have. And this next verse is for the men. Because men, we need to hear it like 4 times before we get it, right? We need to hear it. You wives know that, right? Honey, please take out the trash. Take out the trash, right? Fourth time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm telling you, that's good, isn't it? That's good. That's so rich. I wish we had more time. All right. My clock says my time is counting down. So I want to show you there's a bit of a biblical principle here. It's embodied in verse 8. Verse 8 kind of says the whole thing in a very streamlined way. So I'm going to press into verse 8 because I want to get to that last part of verse 8, that last part where it talks about the idea in verse 8 of prosperity and success. It says, I'll change translations, a little simpler, straightforward, NIV, New International Version. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be what? Prosperous and successful. So that's where I want to get. I want to know a degree of God's prosperity, his success. I'm going to put that on the screen right now because I'd like to live my life right here. I'd like to live my life right here. I'd want to know God's divine prosperity and spiritual success. So prosperous. And somebody's going, David, have you become a prosperity preacher? No, I don't ever preach prosperity except when the Bible clearly promises us prosperity. And so I am balanced. The Bible also promises challenges, hardship, difficulty. So guess what? If you're a Christian person, you're going to get sick sometime. You may lose your job. If you're a Christian person and Jesus is not returned, you're going to die. You're not going to live to be 300. You're going to die. All right? You can take care of your health all you want to. You're going to die. All right? But while I'm here, by the way, I don't want to live to be 300. I want to go to heaven at some point. I want to know God's spiritual success and prosperity. So how do I get there? Verse 8, there's a bit of a principle. I'm reticent to use the word formula, but I'll present it like a formula. So verse 8 again. Keep this book of the law, this Bible, always on your lips. Meditate. Good reading. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate. What does meditate? Not medicate. Meditate. What does it mean? It means simply to understand, to ponder, or have knowledge. I have to know the Word of God. I got to know the Word of God. That's why you're showing up for church every single week. That's why you're downloading the Church by the Glades app on your phone, because you have right there on your phone the Bible. By the way, if the Bible is not on your smartphone, you're not smart enough to own a smartphone, download the Bible and spend a little time every day there. In fact, I start my day there. In fact, get in the Bible before you check out social media. Who cares who's following you if you're not following God? All right, so, and I don't have to spend 6 hours, just a few moments, and so self-study, and then as you come back, and listen, some of y'all, I know you love our church, but you come once every 6 weeks. That's like going to work out once every 6 weeks. All you do is make yourself really sore and miserable. God blesses habits. So every week, let's be here, and I'm going to spend time getting ready for next week to teach you the Word of God, man. And I know we're creative. I know we'll have like ninja stuff on the stage. That doesn't mean we're shallow. No, that means we're fun. That means we're engaging. You can be substantial and sensational. So I got to know what God promises. Okay, does that give me prosperity and success? Well, no, there's more. Let's keep working through this great verse. Again, back on the screen, verse 8 right now. Keep this book in the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So you got to do it. So it's not just enough to know it. I got to take action on what God shows me. I got to do what it says. I got to plug in these principles into my relationship. My habits, my disciplines, my stress, my finance. Because the blessing is in the doing. James chapter 1, verse 22. That's where the blessing is. When you do the stuff. See, when it comes to things of God, hell doesn't care what I know. When it comes to things of God, hell is unafraid of what we know, but the gates of hell tremble at what you do. And so we're going to plug it into our life. All right. Are we there? Is it knowing and action equals to be prosperous and successful? Obviously not, because I still got a blank. So where's the blank come from? Again, verse 8 on the screen, every campus. And this word is a key qualifier. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Ready? So that you may be careful to do
everything.
When I say three, shout that word loudly. One, two, three.
Everything.
Everything. Got to do everything. Can we be honest for a moment? Aren't you wishing it said most everything? Don't you? Come on. Look at y'all staring at me, you spiritual people. Like, come on, you wish it said some things? Like pick out a few things? Because a lot of us, we're doing some of the things, right? We're doing some of the things that God wants. We're doing some of the things, right? We're doing most of the things. We're doing, but there's a few areas of our life. It's God. That's mine. Can't have that one. I mean, I'm going to give you this and this. I'm going to give you my relationships, my priorities, my academics. I'm a student. I'm going to give you my finances, but my sex life, that's mine. It says everything. I wish it did, but it says everything. You think that's so unfair? That's so unfair. Come on, God, everything, that's a lot to ask, right? I'm keeping 8 out of 10 commandments. That's an 80%. That's a low B. Come on. But God says everything, everything, everything. Just shout again. 1, 2, 3. So David, why is he saying everything? I think he's saying everything because, listen, freedom is about everything. The topic is freedom today. You cannot compartmentalize freedom. Freedom, I really believe, at its essence, is an all or nothing kind of issue. You can't be partially free. Oh, I'm free on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but I'm in bondage, these issues and habits on Friday, Saturday. So, no, you're not free at all. Don't point out the couple areas in your life you're emancipated. Let's see the areas in your life that you're in bondage. Let's get you free right now. You see, you tell me, I'm free, but addicted, you're not free at all. I'm free, but I'm shackled to my shame, you're not free at all. I'm free, but I'm enslaved to debt, you're not free at all. I'm free, but I'm a hostage to my habits, you're not free at all. That's why Jesus said, the great king, when the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. What he's saying there, my freedom's not compartmentalized. It's not just about the religious Sunday morning part of your life. When I set you free, my freedom is holistic. It's to the uttermost. It's not compartmentalized. I want to set free every part of your life. And if every part of your life's not free, you're not free at all. So God wants to free you up completely. In fact, let me break down with you the language. And I want to say, I'm going to show you a Hebrew word here. I do want to clarify, a lot of Bible teachers, they spend half the time telling you what your Bible says in your language and what the Bible really says. No, it's good. If you're reading your Bible right now in Creole, you can trust the language in your vernacular, the Bible. If you're reading the Bible right now in Portuguese, you can trust the Bible in Portuguese. If you're reading it in Spanish, or I'm reading mine in English, these are great translations. The Hebrew, prosper, successful, those are great translations. But sometimes in the original language, there's not a whole different word, but there's a nuance. And so I was studying this word for prosperous or prosperity, and I found in the original Hebrew, the root idea is this. This is so cool that if I apply, you know, action to my knowledge multiplied by giving God everything in my life, not the promise of perfection, I can't deliver that. But God's not locked out of any area or any relationship. God is all surrendered to you. If I get that, I'll be successful and prosperous. The word there, prosperous, literally means this, to break out, to break out. Now stop with me. If you are stuck somewhere in life, if you're dysfunctional, if you're limited, if you're marginalized, this is God's year for you to break out. This is God's time for you to break free. This is God unleashing and unloosing the bondage. It's time to break out. When I say three, shout that. To break out. One, two, three. To break out. This is my year to break out. Now, as much as that touches every human heart, contextualize it. God said this to Joshua and the Hebrew people, 12th century BC approximately. Their entire national history and identity was tied to one thing, slavery. Remember the story? From the time of Joseph on, there arose a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph and began to oppress the people of Israel and began to marginalize them and victimize them and enslave them. And they spent 400 years as slaves in Egypt. That's all they had known as a nation. So imagine if you're a slave and someone says, someone's going to break you out and break you free. By the way, ironically, you know that next year marks the 400th anniversary of slavery in America. Slavery in North America began in 1619. A Dutch slave ship was damaged in a storm, made an unscheduled stop in the Virginia colonies. They wanted food and resources. So they bartered 20 kidnapped Africans. The colonists didn't really have a paradigm for slavery yet, so they made them indentured servants, the same way they did the poor whites that couldn't afford the boat ride over. So they had to work for 7 years, and after 7 years, they'd be set free. But the whites recognized that slave labor was profitable. So at the end of 7 years, they didn't want to let the Africans loose. Shouldn't surprise you. No one who benefits from your bondage will quickly grant you your liberty. Typically, freedom is something you must fight for. You got to fight for it. You got to fight for it. It's not for passive people. It's not for muted men. It's not for passive. You got to fight for your freedom. In fact, let's go back to the Bible. As you see, as you come back in the next few weeks, and we say the first chapters of Joshua, they're stepping into the promised land. Dr. King talked about the promised land. They're going to take possession of the promised land. Guess what? You're going to read about a bunch of fights. A bunch of battles, a bunch of wars, a bunch of obstacles. Why is it? I thought God promised the land. He did. God promised the promised land. God prepared the promised land. But they had to fight to take possession of everything God had promised. The same is true for you and me. That's why we start a series next week entitled Cuties and Cupcakes. Puppies and Kittens. Hummingbirds and Butterflies. When did we ever do a series like that? What was like these series that drip with testosterone? Because guess what? There's so much talk about that love and compassion and kindness, and I believe in all that stuff. But a lot of y'all think the Christian life is something you live on a beanbag chair, kicked back, hugging it out, singing kumbaya. You got to learn to fight. You got to learn to fight. So we're going to start a series called Warrior. Warrior, why? Because there's a bunch of soft Christians in the American church. And you think, you know, God should deliver your blessing via UPS. And God said, no, I'm making these promises. You must partner with me proactively and seize what I am giving you. And I'm going to show you the biblical strategies to lay hold of what God has promised. And if you're a lazy Christian, you won't come back next week. If you're a passive Christian, you're going to stay away next week. But if you want to be a warrior, you're going to come next week. I'm going to show you these principles, man. Wait till you get to Joshua chapter 3. Watch Joshua chapter 6. Watch what God is so strong, what God wants to show you in his word. So you got to fight to get yourself free because freedom is an everything kind of proposition. And I would argue you're not free until you're holistically free. You point out all the areas in your life you have some liberation. That's great. Show me the area you're hiding that you're still in bondage. Let's deal with that one, because you're not free until you're completely free. In fact, I'll add this. We're not free until all are free. That's why it's just bigger than you and me. That's why we're on mission as a church. Freedom is not authentic freedom until it's holistic and touches everyone. And you got to fight for that. So I'm researching for this message, and I found this article from the Washington Post in 2012, and it goes all the way back to the 20s and 30s, where people were interviewing people who had been slaves as kids, and they asked a number of great questions, but one question was this: what did it feel like the moment you realized you were emancipated? You get all these amazing, stirring answers, but there was something that intrigued me. A number of the slaves said, well, we emancipated ourselves, meaning this. It wasn't Lincoln's proclamation that emancipated these slaves. Their call to freedom was the distant sound of cannon fire. When they heard the war approaching, when they heard the approaching of the battle lines of the Civil War, when they heard the cannons of the Northern soldiers, they met in the slave house at night and said, guess what? Freedom is close. It's going to be dangerous and risky, but we use our minds and our cunning, the cover of dark. Let's get ourselves free. And they would steal away with their families through the night, and they'd weave their way through the southern forces, crossing no man's land, and they get to the northern troops and surrender, they'd be granted their freedom. And they started these colonies for refugees called freedmen's villages, but here's what I read that surprised me. But almost 200,000 former slaves, African-American men who'd been in bondage, volunteered to join the northern army. Why? They received brief training, and they took up arms, even recognized them. They were captured by the Confederates. They'd be executed and tortured. They were slaves. They recognized they still had family and people in slavery in the South, and we are not free until everyone is free. Now, look, we've made great progress since 1619. We've made great strides since the conclusion of the American Civil War. We've come a long way even since 1968, Dr. King. We got a long way to go. Fight's not done in America, right? Right? And what's the church's role in this? Well, we should go hide in a corner and pray. We should hide in a corner and pray. We should pray. But I'm not going to hide in a corner. Well, church people, please keep your points of view out of the social political discourse. Where's that in my Bible? By the way, and if you believe in that, you discount the voice of Dr. King, who was a pastor. There are those times in life when the spiritual blends into the political and social, and those times we do speak. So what we've done as a church, because listen, I love Church by the Glades for many, many reasons. One is we're mixed up. I mean, we don't look alike, right? And most churches you go to, people look a lot like the pastor. Age-wise, maybe 10 years younger, 10 years older, but they look like the pastor, right? About the same age. The pastor's a white guy, tends to be a white church. The pastor's a black guy, tends to look like the pastor, right? Tends to reflect. In fact, some churches, it's not by policy, just the way things work out. You know, everybody looks the same, dresses the same, thinks the same, votes the same, drives the same minivan in the parking lot, right? That's not us. Physically look around your campus. Just look around. Look at the people in front of you, behind you. Just kind of look around. We don't look the same. Some of you, Sam, you kind of look like me. You kind of look like me. Phil, you don't look like me. I wish I looked like you, man. I'd love that hair and abs. It'd be awesome. You know? Male, female, black, white, Latin, Asian, old, middle-aged, very young. We're mixed up. Yet we do life together. Now, I love our church speaks when I feel like God is cut. I don't readily speak into the political because I know it's so charged. My main thing is not to bring you to a political party or point of view. It's to bring you to Jesus. But sometimes we have to. Sometimes it'd be wrong for me not to. So, you know, we have spoken before. You know, Black Lives Matter. We dealt with that at Church by the Glades. We're called to solemn assembly. We've prayed together as a diverse church. And we've spoken. I don't know what was said in D.C., who said what. I will just tell you this. Our Haitian people, this church, some of our best people we have at Church by the Glades. And I'm not trying to be political. I'm just stating a fact. In fact, this very worship service, the young man doing announcements, Stan, he's second-generation Haitian. The pretty girl with the long hair came out. Man, she's so talented. Portia, she's second-generation Haitian. Bill, who was singing in the worship team, normally he's up at Lake Worth. He leads the charge up there, but he has that smooth voice, raps. You know, I wouldn't have a worship service without our Haitian people. So we do speak up. But listen, I think the main weapon we wield is one of our witness. That we're so different, but we do life together. And we celebrate the differences. I love our diversity. We all think that's kind of cool. At the same time, we have so much in common that's so profound. And where you discover that is when you don't just show up when you get involved. When you get involved in this thing called ministry, when ministry is powerful. Ministry is changing the world together. But when you do ministry, ministry is not just powerful, it's intimate. And when you and I do ministry together and we look different, all of a sudden we start doing ministry side by side and shoulder to shoulder, it demystifies and debunks the mythology we grew up with on each other. And we find out though we're beautifully different, we're really kind of the same. And together we're changing the world. In a world, and I love America. That's why we have immigration issues. This is a great country. People want to get here. But in a country that still has issues, the church is that beacon, that shining city on a hill that shows we can be different, but we can be one. We can respect each other and love each other. And guess what? On this Martin Luther King weekend, we still need that in this country. When there are names of certain cities that are synonymous now with racism and hatred. I just say the name Ferguson, you think violence and racism. I say the name Charlottesville, you think the same thing. In a country that fragmented, we got to be different. Because guess what? Freedom. It's all about freedom. And we're not free until all are free. So we pray and we do life together, do ministry together, and we sound the call of freedom. So there's somebody here and you don't know that freedom you can only find by way of a relationship with Jesus. It's go time. I'm going to close the service in just a moment. And at every campus, will be nice folks by the edge of the stage to help you navigate your decision for Christ. If you want to be set free in every way, a person can be set free. Give yourself to Christ. For the rest of us, I think we pray and we do life together and we look for those moments to have discourse. Because I'll tell you, it will not work because I know there's lots of anger in our nation. But if I resort to anger and name-calling and labeling and surely violence, we shut down learning from each other. So I got three smart kids. My daughter is smart as a whip, and she's a passionate little thing. She's 16, and she called me on the phone a week and a half ago and said, Dad, I got to tell you about something I did. And I thought, uh-oh, here it comes. And what it was, a friend of hers, she didn't see very much, not a bad kid, good kid, lives in a southern town, small little town, put on Instagram his new car, and on the front of his new car had a Confederate flag license plate. He was very proud of it. Victoria thought, no. And so she reached out to him via social media and said, what are you doing putting that on your plate? Don't you know that that's very offensive to so many people? And he came back with this. Again, they were polite to each other, respectful. He said, well, no, for me, it's not about bigotry or racism or surely slavery. This was the battle flag of my state. And for me, it speaks to Southern pride and my culture. She came back and said, no, for most people, it means slavery. So the war was fought over. It means racism. You should not have that on your car. But they were nice to each other. They went back and forth. And he responded, well, you know, at the start of the Civil War, only 3% of Southerners owned slaves. By the way, that's not the correct stats. More like 30%. And Victoria's talking about this. And I thought to myself, well, 3%, that's much less than I thought. I guess she, I wasn't saying it was okay, by the way. I just said less than I thought. Victoria said, Dad, 3% is 3% too many. I mean, 3%, is the only acceptable percentage is 0% of people owning or marginalizing other people. My kid's smart. But she had a conversation with someone respectfully. That'll move the ball down the courts. Freedom. So who wants to be set free? God wants to set you free in every way a person can be set free. Who wants to give their heart to Christ? I'm going to pray that at your campus you find that person and Jesus will set you free spiritually. He will set you free relationally. He will set you free potentially. He will set you free habitually. He will surely set you free eternally. Father God, I pray for someone to recognize it is go time. God is saying by the way of my voice and the Holy Spirit, you're ready. So I pray for someone to give their heart to Christ, for the rest of us to go out and be warriors for love and freedom, to fight to take possession of every good thing, God, that you want to give us. That's our prayer in Jesus' name as the church says together in unity loudly. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Church by the Glades. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades and at Pastor D. Hughes.